I thank you, Father, for a great group of leaders that were present yesterday for our HEPS ministry. I want to thank you, Father, that they are the bread and butter of the ministry, those folks that are working behind the scenes to ensure that the Word of God is able to go forth here. And that everything is in place, the way the facility looks, the way the grounds look, that the children are taught, there's a peaceful and an orderly flow within the building, which the ushers will control. So, Father, I want to thank you. We don't take that lightly when people volunteer their energy and their time. And their resources here at Vicar Christian Center's Church. Father, I want to thank you that I am anointed. Glory to God. And hallelujah, that the words that will come out of my mouth will be based upon what you'd have me to say, Father. Father, thank you in advance for revelation knowledge that's going to change the lives of the hearers today. And I want to thank you that this church is full of doers and not just hearers only. In advance, we give you credit, honor, and praise for all the wonderful things. In Jesus' name, amen. We've had a couple of sessions already on the Holy Spirit. First, we said that the Holy Spirit was a person, and that's in 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll just review some scriptures real quick. 1 John chapter 5. Holy Spirit is not it. He is he. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for there are three, how many?
Three.
That bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, the Word. Now, who is the Word? How you know that? All right. All right. Praise God. Because if you don't know that, you will look and say, well, man, I really only see two. But it's three. Jesus is the living Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Secondly, we said that the Holy Spirit is like a wind. And it also mentioned that in Acts 2, when the early church received the baptism, were filled, rather, not the baptism, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Word of God says that it is like the sound of a mighty rushing wind that filled the room. And so he's like a wind. And just to bring you up to speed, there we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the Word of God mentions many baptisms. Let's go to Hebrews 6. There are different kind of baptisms. When you're there, say amen. Verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And then it says, of the doctrine of baptisms, plural, and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of the judgment. So there are many different kind of baptisms. For instance, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. When we are born again, that's basically what it's a form of baptism. We're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about when you're born again, it is the Holy Spirit that's on the scene that is responsible for that baptism and the cleansing of our human spirit that makes it 100% pure, just like Jesus' spirit. We also have water baptism, and that comes from the word baptizo. And that's where a pastor or a leader, could be an elder or some other leader, will baptize you into with water. Now, water baptism, let me ask it this way. Let me say it this way. Let me ask the question. Does water baptism save you?
No.
What saves us? Amen. The new birth, which is when your spirit is saved, that's when we are saved. Now, what does water baptism do? Water baptism is a public demonstration of the work of the new birth that's on the inside of us. And so we are saved, and now we're making a public demonstration by getting baptized. You know, if you are unsaved and get baptized, you know, you go in the water as a dry sinner, and you just come out as a wet sinner. You're still not saved. You can be baptized and until your ears and nose fill up with water, and that alone will not save you. We get saved by confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior in our life, and the Holy Spirit immediately comes on the scene, baptizes our spirit, cleanses our spirit, like I said a moment ago, and that's called being born again. It's also known as a new birth. And then, thirdly, Jesus baptizes us with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And you may or may not have heard that before, but we'll go over some scriptures this morning to confirm that is indeed the truth. Ephesians chapter 4. And there's a lot of things in the Word of God that can confuse you. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, it says there's one baptism. And we just got through talking about baptisms plural. And so we have to rightly divide the word. Ephesians 4. And I'll tell you why that word one is used. Are we there? Verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. This is Paul writing from Turkey, Ephesus, which is in Turkey. Still, if you go to Turkey now, there is a city that's called Ephesus. And he was writing to, you know, the church at to the Ephesians or Ephesus. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, and as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so if you look at that and just stop, you'll say, well, there's only one type of baptism. What he's talking about, baptism saves us. And that's the new birth. Amen. And that's, you know, a reference to that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, there's only one baptism that makes us part of the body, and that's Jesus, you know, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. There's only one baptism that gives us all that the Father has for us. And so that one doesn't mean only one, but one that does certain things. And so we have to, once again, we have to rightly divide it. Because I can remember years and years ago when I first read that, It, you know, I interpreted it, that was just, and people will use that scripture. I've heard ministries, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And most of the time they're just talking about water baptism, which they throw out the baptism of the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit and what have you. But we got to rightly divide the word of truth and not just do something because we've heard it. You know, we want to find out what does the word say. We have to get into agreement with the word, and we can't do that if we're spiritual lazy, because you just take somebody's word for it and don't look it up. And that's the one of the problems I think that we face in this country now. Nobody's thinking. We let other folks do our thinking. We let the news people, whether it's electronic news or printed news, say something without us doing some research to see what they say, it is true or not. Now they got something out that's called fake news. So you might have been quoting something, believing something that's not even true. So we have to, don't allow somebody at the network think for you. Do some research and find out, you know, is that true? Sometimes people have a motive because of dislike for somebody, and they will say something. But if you take it and run with it, you will miss it. The fact of the matter is we've got to become more diligent in what we do. It is just, you know, TV has made us, and electronics have made us very, very lazy. We don't want to research, look anything up. We'll say, well, the news said, or the paper said. The paper said. There have been so many people fired over the years for writing false stories in the paper. I remember it was, what was it, the Washington Post, I believe it was. A lady actually won a Pulitzer Prize with a false story. And that's like the Oscars of writers, newspaper writers. And needless to say, once they find out, she got fired and the paper had egg on their face. But it's, you know, how somebody did some research to find out what she said was true and found it out that it was all untrue. We've got to start doing the same. When you hear something coming out of this pulpit, make sure you get in the Word of God. Look that up and find out whether it's true or not. You should have some questions. Well, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? And that's how we'll grow, saints of God. You know, we're not automatons where we're just baby birds in the springtime with our mouth open, and you can just, anybody can just drop something in. And that's why you have to watch what you watch. Everything on Christian TV and on Christian radio is not worthy to be listened to or watched. A lot of it is just fundraising. And they'll play on your emotions that if, you know, if y'all, you know, if you don't give us some money by X, we're going to be off the air. Well, you ought to be off the air. Well, people are emotional. They, you know, they'll write the check and won't even put anything in their local check. They write bigger checks for TV ministers than they do for their local church. But if something, they need prayer or a wedding or a funeral, you know, you think he come into town to do that? No. So we miss it, thanks to God. So we've got to start being a little bit more diligent about looking things up and not be spiritually lazy, if I may use that term. I don't want to be pejorative or put anybody down or anything, but we've got to be hungry for the Word of God. But as Paul told the young pastor Timothy, study it so you can rightly divide it. Amen. And we were talking Wednesday as well as yesterday about there ought to be some change in our life if we are studying and rightly dividing the Word of God. Now, we can say we study it, but the way you act, see, your actions are your fruit. You can say anything that you want to say, but your fruit will reveal who you are. One of the saints a couple of days ago gave me a few mangoes, old school mangoes. Them things was good, too. You know, remember the little peach and pineapple mangoes? We used to love, oh, man, it was good. I looked into the bag. She didn't have to tell me what they were. I knew it was a mango. And just like us, you know, your actions will the fruits of your actions will tell us who you really are. Now, you may be quoting scriptures backwards, forward, sideways, inside and out, but none of that has taken root on the inside of you, because there is no way the word can be rooted on the inside of you and you're still nasty to people. And you're still cussing people out. And you're still angry all the time. There's no way the word can be in there and that bitterness be in there at the same time. I'm not saying you got zero word. I'm just saying there's not enough word in there, because if you put enough in there, it will change the type of fruit that we're all producing. That's what I'm trying to say. Now put them rocks down. I see you reaching for them. Put them down. Glory to God. Amen. So let's talk a little bit about baptism with the Spirit, which is what we're doing today. Go to Luke 20. Hallelujah. So open your eyes if you will allow it to. Sometimes people call me so excited about the word. You say, well, I am changing, Pastor. Well, why are you still cussing people out every day? Now, I can see you cussing somebody out every now and then. Yeah, but every day? Yikes. Something's not connected. I mean, I'm not condoning. I'm not condoning every now and then, but I'm just saying, if something's changing from every day, it ought to go to every now and then. Goodness. So we talk like everybody else. We run our homies. We talk like our homies. We lie like our homies. We call in sick and ain't sick. We practice. Get the voice right. I had a lady I used to supervise. I used to crack up. She would call in and always before you got to work. And she'd call in and then she'd make sure she'd get a few And I'm laughing. I say, well, you know, if you don't want to come to work that day, just say I'm not feeling well. I don't need an Oscar winning performance. I'm not coming to your house to see whether or not you at the house or what have you, but some folks, I guess. Y'all found Luke yet? You found chapter 20. Praise God. Verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, everybody say one of those days. Have you had one of those days? Glory to God. I've had one of those days. On one of those days, as he talked, the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. See, them jokers was always up to something. And they spake unto him, saying, tell us by what authority dost thou do these things? Or who is he that gave thee the authority? And he answered and said unto them, got red letters. Get somebody to say red letters. He says, and this is Jesus, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. He says, now the the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? Wow. Was it of heaven and was it of men? And so as you go on, it says they reason among themselves, saying that we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then don't you believe him? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us. for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered, that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Glory to God. Amen. You can't out Jesus. Glory to God. They come in. They done sat around probably all night, come up with them that one little question. Jesus answered them fast. Goodness. Glory to God. And so the question was about authority. And that's what we want to know, thanks to God. Who is the authority behind these matters that we're reading about the Holy Spirit? Is this something that Pentecostals just came up with so that we can speak in tongues and shout and dance and prophesy and what have you? Or is this coming from the word of the living God? So that's what we have to find out. You know, who are these authorities that they're talking about? Well, John the disciple, he's one of those of the authorities. You know, he wrote the book of John. And 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, as well as Revelation. And he talked about it. So he's an authority. Who else? John the Baptist was an authority from God. John the Baptist was sent exclusively. He was a forerunner of Jesus. He's an authority. Who else? Luke the physician. We just read, was reading in Luke. And go to Colossians real quick. Chapter 4. Is this tongue business all right? Or is this Holy Ghost business all right? What does the word say? See, denominations throw it out because, you know, they get together with all of the scholars, and since they can't figure it out with, you know, scholarly, you know, they throw it out. And then they condemn everybody that believes in it. Not using it, you know, don't have any word to stand on. So we go on with the word of God. Oh, that's a reference scripture. I'm sorry, that was a scripture for me. Never mind. Sometimes I put little reference scriptures on here. So we will forget about Colossians 4. All right, let's move on. You can probably think of some authorities yourself. How about Paul? You know, he wrote the book. He was credited with writing the book of Acts, and several other of the epistles. Matter of fact, he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. I would think that would qualify him as an authority. What about you? Peter was a disciple, close friend of Jesus. And the final authority on all of this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So there's a lot of authorities. So folks ask you, well, how you know? Well, we've got authorities that are in the Word of God that we are standing on because it's truth. We're doing what we do based upon truth. Once again, you have to understand that Word of Faith Church, Charismatic Church, whatever you want to call us, we are in many cases the exception and not the rule, because you've got folks teach and preach extensively against the Holy Spirit, against tongues, against the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but you can't back it up with the Word of God. Amen. Because Paul says, "I speak in tongues more than you all." He was writing to that bunch at Corinth, and they were some tongue talking folks. And matter of fact, they would talk so much they would get out of order in the church. And if he spoke more than them, you know he was a tongue talker. And so what did all of these authorities have to say? Let's go back to the Gospel of John. So what are we doing? The series is all about knowing the Holy Spirit. And it's broken up into several little bites, several pieces. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. Amen. Glory to God. "And this is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Why? Because in the beginning was Jesus. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit," glory to God, "the Spirit of God descending from heaven." He didn't say it was a dove, like a dove. "And it abode upon him." And in verse 33, I knew him not. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." Remember I said a moment ago that Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Ghost? All right, now we're going with what the authorities in the Word of God says. Once again, John said, "Whom that Spirit is upon, it is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So he's telling us here, saints of God, that Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. John was a witness. So, I mean, he's an authority on that. And he said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Ghost, and it certainly has happened. Luke chapter 24. We'll see how far we get today. Luke 24. Luke 24. Over there? Wow, I got a lot of scriptures. I'm going to read all of that. I'm going to read, here's your homework. You read 36 through 49, and I'm going to read just 44 through 49. All right? Yeah, you read 36 through 49, and I'm going to read just 44 through 49. And in 44, he said unto them, once again, red letters, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the laws of, in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Talking about Jesus, talking about himself. "Then open he their understanding, that they may understand the scriptures." Oh, that's what we want, saints. That we understand, comprehend, know the scriptures. Not just reading them, but know the scriptures. Verse 46. My goodness. That's powerful there. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in the name, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Jesus said, "I got to go, but I'm sending somebody back. I'm sending the Holy Spirit back, so you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost." And I'm so glad that He did, saints. So glad that He did. And so it was a promise. Amen. What does it say again in 49? "And I send the promise." Yes. Glory to God. So those of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, it was promised unto us. Mm-hmm. Amen. You walking around with the promise on the inside of you. Goodness. Powerful. The promise is on the inside of you. Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, "I do it," and He did it. And that's why we got to believe Him, thanks to God. Just like we believe Him about what He said about the Holy Ghost, believe Him when He said what He said about your healing, what He said about forgiveness of your sins, what He said about prosperity. Let's receive the whole package and not leave, unopened packages under the tree. Praise God. At Christmas at my house, don't be no unopened package under the tree, unless it belonged to somebody else, then we won't open it. But we got this blessing, saints of God. On this earth, we need to use every blessing that we have. We don't have time to have unopened packages. Acts. It's Holy Spirit. See, most people really don't have a problem with the Holy Spirit. You know what they have a problem with? The tongues. It's the tongues. Why? Because they're trying to analyze it like they do at college or in higher education and figure it out. And then I listen to people all the time, "Well, I don't believe," or "I don't see." Well, if you don't believe, then read the Word. If you don't see, then ask God to open your eyes. Because it's in the Word. Now, if you don't want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, then say that. "I don't want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because my aunt McGillicuddy, every time she got filled with the Holy Ghost, she just went crazy. I don't want that. And so the thing about it is that's just how Aunt McGillicuddy reacted to the Holy Ghost. And it's kind of like on a roller coaster. You put some people on a roller coaster, some folks happy, hands in the air. Some folks got their eyes open. Some folks got their eyes closed. Some folks crying like grown folks, crying like babies. Wondering how long this 3-minute ride going to last. "Lord, if you get me off the roller coaster, I'll never get on another one." And that's how it is with the Holy Ghost. We just react different. So a lot of people won't get filled or are afraid to get filled because how they've seen other people act. But as you notice, not everybody act like that. So it's up to the receiver as to how he and she is going to see. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet, and so we can cut it off at any time I want. I like for the Holy Ghost to minister everything He got to minister, and then when that's over with, then that's when the dancing starts. But we, as soon as He come on the scene, we dance the power away. It's gone. Because we just got that entertainment philosophy. And so we happy about feeling good. I want to do more than feel good. I need some life-changing results and feel good. See, people would take the feel good and dance the power away. I want to hold on the seat as long as I can and let the Holy Spirit minister whatever's got to be ministered, and then I catch the dance on the end and have a total breakthrough. And so we just react differently. when the Spirit. So because the way somebody acts, it doesn't mean everybody acts the same way. We all act different when the Holy Spirit comes. Some people are very quiet with it. Some people are very loud. Some people are too loud with it. Amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Why y'all looking at me that way? Y'all scared to laugh, you know. They're looking around to see who here, whether you can laugh or not. It's the truth, whether folks are here or not. Glory to God. Acts chapter 1. We there? This is a good book. You ought to read Acts. You ought to be reading Acts regular, because you see some great things happen in the church. Great things. Great things. They ought to still be happening. But it was a lot of unity going on back there, and the devil figured that out. So he keep foolishness going on in most churches. And most folks love to participate in it. It doesn't take very much for them to participate in foolishness. Matter of fact, they'll raise their hand and say, "Well, Mr. Devil, I know you ain't asked me this, but I'm gonna lead in foolishness today, and because I'm mad, you know, I'm mad with Brother Pharaoh," and Devil said, "Well, have your way," because he knows where there's strife, all those other demons will come in. Amen. If we just understand, thanks to God, why it's so important to walk in love, there is nobody on this planet or the galaxy that is worthy enough for us to be separated from God, being mad for whatever the reason is. We have to let stuff go. We won't let stuff go. Just over and over and over. Folks will punish you over and over and over. I've seen it happening in marriages. Folks break up, they get back together, and then when they get back, you know, they're just constantly throwing up that stuff from the past. It ain't going to work. You got to let that stuff go. Once you forgive me, you no longer have the right to say anything else about it. You have relinquished your rights. Amen. You can't be bringing up stuff from, you know, from 79. What about them, you know, what about the Russian Airlines stewardesses? What about them? Glory to God. But we won't let stuff go. The devil will open up a page from the past and you'll just go with it. Look at somebody and say, "Learn to let stuff go." Go ahead and learn to let stuff go. Glory to God. Let it go. What was that little song in Ice? Let it go. Frozen? Yeah. Let it go. Let it go. Acts chapter 1 says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible, unshakable, unmistakable proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Can you imagine that dead not walking around 40 days afterwards? Glory to God. How about Jesus? Amen. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." You stay in Jerusalem. Why? "Wait on the promise of the Father," said he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Glory to God. So the promise had to come. The promise. Hallelujah. If you feel with the Holy Ghost, look at somebody and say, "I got the promise." That promise is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. What a promise. Acts chapter 8. Thank you, Lord. Yes, chapter 8. Let's start with verse number 5. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake." Boy, that is interesting. "One accord, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed." And the word of God says, "And there was great joy in Vicar Christian Center." Amen. Oh, can't you imagine the healing power of God flowing in this house, in this city? You talking about great joy. I heard one pastor a long time ago say healing is like the dinner bell. You get that, boy, you get that running, people will run to your facility. They will run to your facility. Goodness. Great joy. Great, not just joy. I would have been good enough, but he said great joy. "But there was a certain man called Simon, before time in the same city, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one," you know, phony baloney, "to whom they all gave heed." See, you know, they listen. See, we move by dazzling stuff. You know, folks are not backing up anything with scripture. Once again, that's how some of those folks on TV are. They'll use the scripture, but they will wrongly use it and play on your emotions, and you send them your last $500. They say, "Well, that's 14 people still haven't called in yet. I see one of them in St. Pete." And you go, "That's me." Oh, my goodness. Wow. We've got to be careful, saints. We've got to be careful. What did I leave off? Verse 10. "To whom all they gave heed, from the least to the greatest." He didn't fool everybody. "Saying, this man is the great power of God." He was a sorcerer. But it was moved by, see, the devil can do some tricks now. So why you got the, boy, if you're mature and Holy Ghost led, that won't happen. But this was early in the Holy Ghost, so I can understand how they got tricked. No excuse for us. "And to him they had a regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things of the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women." Glory to God. In other words, they got saved, and then they got baptized in water. 14. "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And verse 17 says, "Then laid he their hands on them, and they did what? They received." How do you get the Holy Ghost? You got to receive it. It's a gift. You have to receive it. Amen. It's a gift. You say, "Well, I ain't feel nothing when you laid hand on me, Pastor. Well, what you looking to feel?" Glory to God. Amen. So Peter and John, you know, you hear these accounts here. These are authorities. This is who we're placing our trust in, the authorities that are in the Word of God. We know the Holy Ghost is powerful. We know that we need to be and supposed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Why does everybody fight it? Everybody that's in Vicar Christian Center ought to be speaking in tongues. Everybody. It's just because you don't fully understand it. You just kind of like don't want to act on it. But you didn't fully understand the club when you went in it, but you went anyway. Glory to God. Acts chapter 11. We're about to close in just a moment. Acts chapter 11. I know there's a lot of scriptures. This is Peter visiting Cornelius' house. Acts chapter 11, verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Goodness. As on us in the beginning. Now, this is something unusual. He just started talking, and the Holy Ghost fell on them. Glory to God. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Amen. Let them folks get filled. Then he heard, they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God had also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. See, before then, they just thought the salvation was just for the Jews only. No, it's for everybody. For everybody. Thank God it is. Aren't you glad that it is?
Amen.
Glory to God. I know I am. Last scripture, go to 19, Acts chapter 19. This is Paul at Ephesus once again. Acts chapter 19. Verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, what you talking about, Paul? We have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him whom should come after him, that is, on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul had laid, laid his hands upon them, now, hands is just a point of contact. Amen. You still have to receive. We lay hands on people because it's a point of contact. We really don't have to lay hands on you. Just speak the word. But most of the time, you just spoke the word. See, our words are powerful. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they, what? Spake with tongues. And the word of God says, and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Goodness. And so we got all of these authorities, thanks to God. So, you know, you can't hire nobody to talk me out of the fact that the Holy Spirit does not exist, to talk me out of the truth that the Spirit of the living God wants us. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. If I don't have the Holy Ghost, it's just my fault. And so I'm praying as we go through this series, those that are not filled with the Holy Ghost will get filled. You don't have to get filled at church. I got filled on I-275. Driving down the road, decided, all right, it's time. That's what I just said. All right, it's time to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Got filled right on I-275. Going, I don't know why I was going to Tampa or to work or where. But I do know I was on I-275. So I'm trying to give you as many scriptures that I can so that you can study them and look them backwards, forwards. Hope you're taking some notes or going online, listening to the replays or what have you. But this, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit with us all the time. That baptism that I'm talking about, we need that, saints. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. And so as we close, the takeaway from this lesson is today is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is biblical, and it is real and relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. Let me say that again. It is real and as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. Amen. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the promise. Glory to God. God promised it to us. God is not a man that he should lie. It's a promise. Glory to God. Y'all understand that? It's a promise. Amen. Thirdly and lastly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's like if I called Kurt up here and gave him a $50 bill. Now, he can sit up here and look at it. I don't know, Pastor. Is that real? Well, you can either receive it or not. Amen. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. We either receive the Holy Ghost or not, saints of God. Amen. I think we got enough to chew on for a while. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Praise God. Elder Olin, would you come up and close us out? Altar call and final prayer, etc.?